the Spirit moves on our behalf as we agree with God. Amen? And so there's some things you need to shout at. What God put together, let no man put asunder. You need to speak to your marriage. You need to speak to your children. These children are the blessing of God, and they're full of favor. You need to speak to them. You need to speak to your body. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Don't wait till you feel it. But I'm telling you, if you'll speak it, you will see it. So just look at your neighbor and say, what are you going to shout at? And you may be seated. And since I opened the door to that, just so you know, if I randomly shout a couple times while I'm up here, I'm directing my shout towards some things that God reveals to me I need to shout about. So let's pray one more time, just touch and agree. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe that you're present with your people today and that we are your people. You promised if we would praise you that you tabernacle or you dwell, you rest, you abide in the praises of your people. And you said the whole world won't see you, but those that call on you, those that continue in your word, those that stand in faith, you're going to manifest. And Lord, that you're going to manifest by the Spirit of what you've already said. So you will manifest in joy because you said that we have joy unspeakable and full of glory through you. You're going to manifest by peace because you are the Prince of Peace. You're going to manifest in power because all power and authority have been given to you. You're going to manifest with mercy and grace because you're the God who sits on the seat, Lord, that gives us mercy, the mercy seat. And so we just thank you that we have the ability to agree with who you are and see that part be enriched in our lives. If you believe that, just say amen. Thank you, guys. The band was awesome. I love it. I'm not sure if you noticed the theme, but all the songs were upbeat today. Did you notice that? Why? Because it's easy to get stuck in the wrong position and then feel like you have to stay there because you got yourself there. Anybody ever self-sabotaged their own success before? Anybody ever got themselves to right where they knew God was taking them or knew where they were supposed to be? And your own decision making, your own choosing, your own doing, you realize that you didn't go or do or have or get what you were supposed to. And what the enemy loves to do, the Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. And the brethren is simply those that have received the love, mercy, forgiveness, and grace of God. And have been empowered to be a child of God. And so the enemy is the accuser. One of the great places where we lose authority of who we are is by the accusations of the enemy if we let those accusations stay over us. What's the last accusation that's been spoken over you? And sometimes you have to realize you might have spoken the accusation against yourself. You might have been the one that put the accusation above you. I'll never. I can't. This is just who I am. And so I want you to see that coming into agreement with God will make you have to speak to things. And he says, we're not wrestling flesh and blood. And so often we try to change the circumstance by flesh and blood. We try to just work it out. And we work and we work and it doesn't change. And I find myself still doing what I wish I didn't, which just further accuses me. See, you're just a fake anyhow. You're just this and you're just that. Anybody ever felt like that before? I'm a pastor. I'm telling you, I felt like that. So you're in good company. At least I think you are if you say yes. Me and you hang out. But we're not going to hang out under that shadow. Because when God speaks, he's a God of covenant. And this, I want to teach you something about covenant real quick. When God comes into covenant about something, it is. And he doesn't change his mind about his covenants. He's not fickle. He's not, well, I don't think I still want this covenant. Once God comes into covenant, he is in covenant. And I love it about God. If you understand God's the creator of the marriage covenant, And it was his idea to come up with this, till death do us part. That was a God thing. Just so you know, every time that they say that, what they're saying is, we agree with the way God set up marriage because he said, until death do us part, right? So now when we do marriage, what we're doing is we're taking parts of the covenant and what God said and then leaving some out so that we don't have to truly be in covenant like God said. But when God speaks, he says, until death do us part, we're in covenant. Just so you know, in God, eternity. So when will death come in God? So when he sets a covenant, he says, as it stands this day and forever. When God comes into covenant, it's a lasting covenant, until death do his part. But guess what? He's the eternal one, the existing one. He has no beginning and no end. He never ends. He's forever. And so when God makes a covenant, he follows his own word. And one of the great things that he did was he gave authority to us, his creation, who he loved, mankind. And he gave us authority and rights to be like him and to have the blessing of God and to be present with him and to speak and have authority in our words. And he told Adam, the man that he made from the ground and blew life into him. And when he raised up, he got to walk with God in the glory of God every day. And just so you know, I don't want you to picture the glory as just like sunshine. I want you to picture the glory as the air of God's essence or presence. It's God, as far as it reaches, the glory reaches, it's the presence of God there. So all that God is and all that God has is in his glory. And he breathed that in every day. That was his daily situation. He was in this relationship with God where he got to live in the glory. He got to talk with God and walk with God. And God asked him a couple questions. He said, hey, Adam, I want to teach you something about authority. I've given you all authority over everything in this creation that you're walking amongst. You, even though there's some stronger physical animals in here than you, there's Satan's even in here. But I'm not worried about Satan because I'm giving you authority over him. Right? So what he did is he said, I want you to teach you something about authority. He says, what do you say the name of this animal is, this creature here? What do you want to name it? And so Adam said, cow. And God said, cow it is. Duck. Duck! And you can just imagine, after he kind of started to learn how to do this, he kind of started getting on a roll. Falcon! You know, he started to feel it a little bit. Hippopotamus! You can just imagine the increase in like, hey, because he had a lot of them to name. He probably started, you know, at first he was just shooting one at a time. After a while, he just started using his authority and realized God likes it for him to use the authority God gave him. It's good. But in order to use it, he was going to have to open his mouth and speak. He didn't use it by just going. No, he had to say something. But when he said, the Spirit of God, the life of God, the glory of God, he was in agreement with it. And so the Spirit required by covenant that to be so. The authority of Adam was amazing. And you can just imagine on that horrible day when by their own choosing, Adam and Eve were removed from the presence of God. They were removed from the glory of God. And now the authority that they had with God, they had given it to the serpent. They yielded themselves to him. And so now he had the right to speak in their life. And so when they were separated from God and removed from the garden so that they wouldn't eat from the tree of life in a sinful state, had mankind eaten from the tree that was the tree of life in the garden, in a sinful state, it would have perpetuated their eternity to be sinful and an enemy against God forever. So God removing them from the garden in his presence was his grace. And God already was working a plan. He already from the beginning, so the minute and the day that he removed them from the garden, he already prophesied, I'm going to rectify this. And in Genesis 3:15, he tells them, this is what's going to happen. You think you've come and bruised the heel of this man, but I'm telling you, the seed of the woman's going to come and rise up and going to win a victory over you for all mankind. I'm going to redeem this. What you meant for bad, I'm going to work it for good. But I have to remove them from my presence. And so you can just imagine Adam, all he knows is the glory of God, the presence of God, and the authority given to him. And you can imagine the first time he went out there, out of God's presence and no longer having the authority of the Spirit of God. And he got hungry. And he probably said, "Raven, bring me a pomegranate." Adam liked pomegranates. Nobody told you. Adam loved pomegranates, I think. "Bring me a pomegranate." And he waited. 2 days later, he thought maybe something had happened to Raven. He didn't realize it had happened to him. He had no longer had authority. So then he said, "Okay, it's the raven's just, he's just a bad guy. Well, so I'm going to call Eagle. Eagle, go get me some fish. Me and my wife are hungry." And guess what happened? Eagle soared over his head in circles and never came. And so he and Eve went into a panic to start providing for themselves, not by the authority that God gave them, but by the work of their own being able to do. We need to go get it. We need to go try to grab a fish rather than just calling for fish. We need to go make a shelter rather than there to find a shelter. We need to start working or we're not going to make it. And the fear set in that they no longer had authority. And the only authority that they had was what they could physically take authority over. So they said, "You know what? I'm going to catch Raven when I get a chance. And I'm going to put him on a leash. Then guess what? Then he can't go work against me. Then he's going to have to stay where I want him to be. And so I'm going to have to use physical authority to be able to control my environment." And so even today, you know how young kids at a very young age, I mean, who had to teach them when they didn't want someone to play with their toy to grab their hair? And you're looking at them and they just have this innocent face like, "What? I'm just taking authority because it's taking my toy." And they're looking at you and you have to say, "No, you can't pull hair. You cannot hit. Please don't bite." Because they're trying to learn how to use some authority to make happen what they want. And so they start learning how to be physical because they don't know of any other authority. And so everything they get and do, they realize, okay, you know what? If I get strong enough one day, I'm going to be able to do this. And so, you know those young guys, they start getting a little bit yoked and you can see they've been lifting. They walk different. What's up? The ladies, they want some control. They start putting it on physically. "Hi." And rather than saying, "Raven, go get me," they try to seduce Raven. "Raven, you have such beautiful feathers." And it puts Raven into his flesh, into... And he looks and says, "Yes, they are quite grand. Such strong wings. Yeah, they get me around. I wonder if you could take those big, strong wings with those beautiful feathers and go get me a fish. How many do you want?" And so Raven goes and gets the fish and grabs it and brings it back and says, "See?" But really what he was doing was showing his ability within his flesh at the request of her ability in her flesh. And so we learn from a very young age, authority comes from how I can learn to either out-muscle, out-mind naturally, or manipulate. Manipulate. And so I learned to manipulate. And one of the great strengths, suddenly Eve realized that in this new physical authority thing, Adam was just made bigger than her. The Bible says that, husbands, you have to understand, you have to work with your wife according to wisdom and knowledge as the weaker vessel, in the sense that you're stronger physically. But I want you to picture something about a weaker vessel. A weaker vessel doesn't mean that it doesn't hold something more valuable. In fact, our fine china that's old is put up for special occasions for the high-class stuff that we do, right? And the strong, day-to-day, don't care if the kid breaks it stuff, is a strong old vessel that if it breaks, oh, no big deal, right? So, you know, you have to think of value when you think of a weaker vessel. But it tells the husbands, you have to learn to deal with your wife according to knowledge as the weaker vessel. What it's saying is, don't use your physical strength as the lead or catalyst in your relationship with her. Don't do that. Don't make that your authority. What's the threat there? And if you posture like that, you're going to get resistance to that. And if you get resistance to that, you're probably going to war against it. And if you war against it, you're going to be warring in your flesh. And if you war in your flesh, it's already doomed. And so it says, don't deal or live or have relationship with your wife, her being the weaker vessel and using that against her, but according to knowledge and wisdom that you might be able to live in peace and enjoy. So though I think I could win the battle, it won't produce joy and it won't produce peace. You ever won a fight or an argument at home, but it didn't do any good for the peace of the home? Was that a good war? Did you do something good? Because you showed them you were right. My feathers are darker than yours. Look at. I can swim faster and further. And we have all of these things. And in fact, the little kids at such a young age learn to start ranking themselves. And little kids are just straight honest. I remember when I was a little kid, because I grew up as the youngest of four, survival was an instinct in me. Survive! And so I was fast, like a horse is fast, because they have to learn to, the day they're born, get up and run because there is lion in the field, right? I was like that. So I was fast as a young guy, pretty strong, but it wasn't in the sense of because I was macho guy, it was in the sense of survival. If you knew Heath and Jay, Larray was on my side from a distance. She prayed for me from a long way away while I was getting beat up. And this young kid, he came to me, he said, listen, you think you're the strongest one here? I can beat you up. And I didn't want to fight him or anything, but what do you do when somebody comes up to you and challenges you? And my dad always taught me, don't you dare start a fight, but you'll never get in trouble if you finish one. That was just our lesson, right? And so before I knew it, this kid jumped on me. Because he wanted everybody to know. It was not because there was any ought between us. It was simply pecking order. Right? He just wanted me to know where we all stood. And I flipped him over. And I held him on the ground. He was on the ground. I held him down. Go get the playground teacher. And I held him down. Until the playground teacher gets there. He was... So the next day, he came to me. He says, hey, listen, make sure everybody knows I'm second strongest. Because he's still in his mind thinking of his authority and his place in the school and amongst these people. And he's still thinking physical authority. He's still thinking what he can accomplish physically, naturally, in his own thinking, in his own ability, in his own doing, and that's who he is. But when we come into relationship with God, when God begins to call us back to the place of being in his presence and not separated, not being guilty, not having to work by the sweat of your brow for everything you get, that he wants to bless you and he wants to restore us to a place of relationship, not as servants and slaves, but as children, like Jesus being the Son of God, he says he's your brother. Jesus is your brother. How the Father loves him, he loves you like that. And what did he give Jesus? Now, did Jesus work hard physically? Sure, you know he did. He had to walk places he went. Oftentimes we'd read, you know, Jesus was in Capernaum and then he was in Jerusalem. And they don't fill in the blanks. It was a long, hot walk with not a lot of food or water. We just kind of read and, you know, within 2 seconds, he's there. He didn't do it that way. And so he went through a lot of physical challenges and a lot of things, but his authority was in the Spirit. He never used his physical authority to overcome anything. He always used spiritual authority. And when your physical authority runs up against things that it can't handle, fear hits in. Because I can't beat up that guy. And if you've ever been faced eyeball to eyeball with somebody you can't beat up who wants to beat up you, just tell me how you feel. It's a tough feeling. But God has done something for us. I'm going to show you a place in Scripture. Pastor, preach to us. I'm going to preach. I hope you like the stories. As much as I was challenged... There he is over there. Listen, me and my brothers and my sister, we love each other. There's no battle. There's no trying to use a physical authority over each other. There's no intimidation. There's no nothing like that. And that's important to get to that place because I have found out that there's still a lot of people extremely, extremely offended in their spirit about being overpowered naturally when they were younger. Or how they were treated because there was an authority based on physical strength or understanding or natural authority. And people felt like, I never got over that. I never got over that. And so it's important to be on a platform to completely free yourself from being in the bondage to authority that wasn't from God. You have to forgive yourself and everybody else. You know, in the Scripture, Jesus teaching them to pray, he says, you want to pray? Pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He established our relationship with the Father, that you need to learn to be into a new relationship with God where you don't just see him as God from afar, but Father, who you are born from him, and his house is your house, and his thinking is good for you, and his business is the family business in which you work, and his authority is still present regardless of how old you get. Father, forgive us of our trespasses and our sins, even as we forgive those who trespass and sinned against us. The Son. The relationship with Jesus Christ, that not by your own works or what you did in your flesh or the authority of your flesh, but he, choosing by love, came, forgave you by purchasing back those that were enslaved to flesh by spilling his own blood on the cross, where he gave himself freely as the ransom to set everybody free who would so choose. This is the relationship with the Son. How do we stay in a place and forgive us of our sins? We have to be in relationship with Jesus. So far, I have to be in relationship with Father, and now I have to be in relationship with Son, who gave himself on the cross. And then it goes on to say, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, that does not come with the authority of my flesh. That is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the part of the relationship in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the place of authority that I don't have to be led and do the things that I didn't want to do and be overpowered by the things that I'm weak to and have to try to fight every day by the strength of my natural man or woman. But I'm asking you to lead me by your strength, by your power, by your authority, which is spiritual. Bring me back to the relationship Adam had with you. And this is what God has given us. When Jesus died on the cross, he proved authority by saying before he died, I will raise in 3 days. Not only did he say it physically while he stood on the earth, but he had prophets say it 1,000 years ago before he did it. And he had another prophet say it. And he kept saying and promising, when he comes, the Messiah, he will prove his authority, because when they kill him, he'll rise up. Now, if that has been the marker for all this time, when he comes and does this, and that was just one of the signs, but you remember when they asked him, show us another sign so we'll believe you're him. And Jesus said, you want a sign? You're always looking for signs. You're always looking for, you know, we'll do this then. We'll do that then. Prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. And just so you know, in your relationship with God, don't let anybody, any devil, any situation try to get you always in this, prove that you're a child of God. Prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. That's not where the relationship's at. And you'll find yourself start to move at the prompting of the one telling you to prove it rather than the one you're approved by. So anyhow, Jesus says, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. Here's the one sign I'm going to give you to prove my authority. I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. Sign of Jonah. Well, everybody knows that Jonah on the boat had a message from God, didn't want to go do it. And when he was on the boat started to have some turbulence and some winds, and they were going to sink. And Jonah confessed, hey, everybody, the reason this boat's sinking is because God's frustrated with me because I won't go do what he said. I won't go do it. And they said, it's you that's causing this storm? And so what did they do? They said, I do this for my country. They picked him up and threw him off the boat. So there was Jonah in the water, and Jonah gets swallowed up by the giant fish. And for 3 days, Jonah was in the fish. But on the third day, he was released by the fish, went, brought a message of deliverance to the people of Nineveh. And so Jesus was telling them, you want a sign that I have the authority in which I'm saying I have? That I come from where I say I've come? I'm going to do what I said I would do? Well, I'm going to give you a sign that if it happens, then you know there's no question of my authority, okay? You have no question of where the authority came from, and you have no question of the promises I make to you. If I give you one sign, I'm going to give you one. And so we know on the third day that Jesus raised from the dead by the Spirit of God. Why? Because he had the authority to speak and name and say and articulate life that was in agreement with what his Father had given him. And so the Bible says that he raised up. And when they went to the tomb, they found the stone that was put there rolled away. Just so you know why there was a giant stone there. The government did not want any possibility of Jesus raising or somebody taking his body, stealing him, and saying, he's alive, just to try to get people to believe it. And so they were ordered specifically concerning Jesus to put a stone that could not be removed by one man or one person. And they set SEAL Team 6 right there and said, listen, you're on station for 4 days. Nothing come in and nothing go out of there. That's the one thing that can't happen, or it could shake our government. Jesus got out. And when he got out, this is the part I love. It says that he took his clothes were folded up nicely. He was in order. He wasn't rushing. Get your mornings where you don't have to rush like that. Put it in place. Came out. Not boastful in his flesh. but in his spirit, aimed and directed to restore this authority back to his people to be in right relationship with God. And so he's looking over his people. Where are they? Where are they? And he's trying to get to them. That's where he's going. And so he would show up on the scene, and they would all get freaked out. And he'd have to say, didn't I tell you I had this authority? Didn't I tell you I was going to do this? It was like, yeah, well, yeah, you told us that, but here you are. You know, sometimes in our relationship, we'll go through things with God where we think we're believing until it happens, and then we're shocked. And then what we end up doing, watch what we do. I can't believe I got the job. I'd been praying. I can't believe I got the job. Now watch it. Now on day two, this is what we do. I don't know if I can do the job. I don't know if I'm qualified. I'm telling you, there's this guy there. He already beat me up and told me he's number one. There's a boss there that told me I'm not strong, I'm weak. And we start immediately going as if it didn't have anything to do with your prayer that got you there. So if it was faith in God that got you there, do you not think he qualifies you to be there? And so we question the authority different of getting there and being able to stay there. Because then what do? We go back to our flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. Christians should be the hardest working people, the best employees on the planet Earth. It should be known anywhere you go, hire one of them from the vine. When it comes back that it's like, don't hire them because they'll start, but they'll quit on you. They'll be on their cell phones all day at work, and they'll bring in more chaos than they'll bring any help at all. You don't want one of the vine people. That's a bad sign. But this is the sign that Jesus proved he is who he promised, and everything that had ever been spoken shall come to pass. There's a lot that hasn't come to pass yet. But I don't have to wait for it to come to pass. I just have to know Jesus is resurrected. I just have to know he had authority to rise up from the dead. And I'll bring it to this place. So for every person on the planet that is alive today, Jesus wants you to hear everything that's been said about him and that's true about him. He wants you to know he did what he said he would do and he loves you, and that any of your past does not limit him from reaching you right now. There's nothing that disqualifies you right now when you hear him. But then as you open up and receive him, he says, I don't want you to go based on the authority of the preacher that you're saved. I will personally come to you. And when I come to you and witness to you that me and you just touched and agreed, then you know, without just reading, but what you read is true because I just touched you. Now, if I touch you and show you that I'm present and you know I'm alive, that means everything written about me is true. And that means everything I said about you is true. That means everything I talked about of putting the world back in right order based in the love of God and the new covenant. That means everything I ever promised you going forward, you're going to have. You don't have to worry about it. You're not going to get it by suddenly working harder in your flesh to try to go get it. You're not going to get it by going and trying to out-muscle someone else. You're going to get it because you have found out that I gave it to you, and you're in right standing with me, and you need to go forward rejoicing in that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the sign, the witness, the authority, the same Spirit that was in Jesus that caused him to look up and walk and go do what he was going to do and finish his assignment is the same Spirit that he gives freely to all who would receive him as Lord. And he gives you this Spirit so that no matter where you are, You need a sign that God's alive? Do you need to know for sure it's going to work? Do you need to know for sure that you're in right standing? Do you need to know for sure that you go by the name that he gave you and not what someone else called you? Well, then I need him to, that spirit, I need that authority, I need that sign to always be there and always be present. So God said, when I give you my spirit, I'm not going to take it back from you. And he will walk with you, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. He won't lead you into temptation. If you run into a situation that's bigger than you, it's not bigger than him. When you don't know what to say, he'll pray for you. And when you make a mistake, he'll point you back to the blood, and you will be cleansed in the moment. You're right then. This is bringing us back to that place of authority, but it's not an authority of the flesh. It's an authority of the spirit. And as we first start walking and we first start trying to do this new walk in authority in life with him, we find ourselves saying, turtle? But we don't want anybody to see that we said turtle, because if it doesn't become a turtle. We're trying to learn how to do this thing, but we're afraid. But once we see the results of simply confessing and agreeing and walking in what God said, and I see the results of that, I start getting bold like we thought Adam did. Oh, yeah? Well, that worked. I'm more than a conqueror today. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We start speaking in agreement with him and realize that it's not a physical thing, but a spiritual thing. And I have authority, but if I don't say anything, I can lay in low places when I was called to be in high places. I can stay down when he said, get up. I can stay under when he said, be above. I can be depressed when he said, be joyful. That's why, you know, Jesus telling us through Isaiah 61, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to do this job. This isn't something of the flesh. This is something of the Spirit. And I'm going to anoint you, and I'm going to set you free. And when I do, I'm going to give you a new garment to wear. You can't wear that old garment that you used to wear. You actually have to shed the old garment and put a new thing on. I want you to know your new garment of praise is one of authority. It's one of authority. It's a garment that gives you a level of authority. I'm telling you, go to the mall and recognize who's in authority in the places you go. You'll see they're wearing something to identify the authority. And without even being told, oftentimes there's certain levels in which you give in to the authority and they haven't even said anything. But you just recognize that's a mall cop. Every mall needs a mall cop. And I tell you what, you know when the mall cops come in greatest? When someone's lost. Have you seen my kid? Have you seen my kid? Have you seen my kid? And you know they're in authority and communication to be able to reach the whole mall with their voice because there's authority in what they say that's greater than yours. So you go to them and say, use your authority to help me find. Use your authority to help me reach where my child is because it's lost and there's so many people. And you recognize that authority that can be laughed at in one moment is honored in another. Isn't it funny? God wants us in this relationship to understand you're not wrestling flesh and blood. Let's look at the scripture. I told you we're going to go to Luke chapter 4 starting at verse 1. It's 12 o'clock. The Seahawks haven't even got on the field yet. We're in good shape. Russell Wilson is just still stretching, talking to the guys. I feel good today. I just do. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 1. And Jesus being full, this is the moment that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, just like we're called to do. For Jesus, it was on the same day that he was baptized in the water. After he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, who we know to be his cousin, when he raised up, the Spirit from heaven descended upon him and remained on him. And for John the Baptist, his job was to end after the Christ came. because his job was to get everybody ready. And so he needed some sign to know which one is the Christ. There's a lot of guys that are saying it's them. And God told him personally, the one that the Spirit comes upon and stays with him, that's the one in authority. And he'll use his authority not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Be careful how you look at them, because you might see a tall, strong guy that looks the part. And you might see this other person, but you're not going to recognize him by the flesh. You're not going to be able to say, must be the Messiah. In fact, Scripture said there is nothing comely about him or nothing so beautiful or outstanding that you would pick him out of a lineup and say, must be him, regardless of what Hollywood does to him. He wasn't the first pick physically. But the Spirit was on him. At this point, Jesus is 30 years old and has never preached one time. Now, he read the scrolls and the scriptures. We know it was his custom, as we will see. It was his custom to go in and go to on the Sabbath day and go in the synagogue and read of the scrolls. We know he went and talked with the priests and the high priests and talked to them concerning scripture. But at this point, he hasn't brought a message to the public yet. Why? Because even Jesus had to wait for his authority to be given. But suddenly on this day, he receives this authority back. And the Bible calls him the second or the new Adam. So the authority that was lost by Adam and Eve in the garden, and they were removed from the presence of God, and they were removed from the authority of the Spirit. Now Jesus is the new Adam, and he is now bringing back that relationship with God that was lost. And he is the answer that God was predicting way back from the beginning and says, I'm going to rectify this situation. I have a plan. And it was to get the authority back to his people so that we can, by things of the Spirit and not the flesh, have everything and be who we're called to be. So watch what Jesus does. Again, we are in Luke chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit that has given you authority will tell you to go places you didn't want to go. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. Jesus was fasting, and what I want you to see out of his fasting, what he was doing, he was led by the Spirit. He's now received the Spirit. He's going to go win victory and win victory for every person on the planet through the Spirit. And so he needs to learn to put the Spirit first priority to his flesh, all the way to eating food. He needed to make sure that the dictates of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit, led him and not the desires of his flesh that used to be the old way of strength. And so he had to put his confidence and strength leaning on things of the Spirit at a higher level. And so for that, Jesus fasted 40 days to tell his body, you're not in control. We're doing a changeover. I used to go by what you said. Now I go by what the Spirit in me says. I'm led by the Spirit and not the flesh. You have to win a victory over your own flesh. You have to take authority over your own flesh. Before Jesus used his authority for anybody else's flesh, he first used it on his own. The first place of your authority is over your own vessel. It's the first place of your authority. This is what Jesus is showing us right here. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days did eat nothing, and when they were ended, guess what? He wasn't so holy that he wasn't hungry. He was 40 days hungry. How hungry do you think he was? Hungry. I tell you what, don't eat breakfast and see how hungry you are. Don't give me coffee and see what my flesh says. My flesh tries to prophesy. You know you're going to die if you don't get some coffee soon. You will fall down and die there, Pastor. It's my flesh talking to me, telling me how the day's going to go if I don't give it what it wants. Can you imagine how what authority it's taken? Why? It's learned how to manipulate me. It's out of all the time that the flesh has been in existence, DNA being passed down, DNA being passed down, DNA being passed down, DNA being passed down. Isn't it funny that you don't have to teach the birds where the highways are in the sky? Even a baby bird that grows up without its parents can find the road because it's in its DNA. It knows where to go. It's built into it. Think how much of sin and lust and things is in your DNA. How long it's had a chance to get down and really get in there. How it knows how to manipulate you. It's learned how to be in control. It's good at it. It's good at it. I can't stop doing that because my flesh told me it will make me sick or kill me if I do. That's real authority. That's something real talking to you. It's not fake. That's real. You have to understand that authority, you know, this isn't just like acting parts out. There's some real struggles going on. And so the authority that comes has to be able to not just say in word, but have the power to do. We need some power to do. And so Jesus is putting his flesh second. It was me and the kid wrestling where he said, I just want you to know I'm stronger than you. And he jumped on me. Well, Jesus and the spirit and the flesh of Jesus are at war right here. But when they get up, when he wins by the spirit, the flesh is going to say, just tell everybody I'm second. So the question for you becomes, who's in authority in you? That's a bottom line question, right? I will keep reading, but you know what Jesus says. There's no way you can serve two masters because you'll love one, hate the other. You can't be controlled by two lords or influences that say, I'm the top authority in your life. You can't have two top authorities. You can only have one. You can only have one king. Who's your king, right? Jesus is going through that struggle here. We read it as if it was simple. It wasn't. There's challenge to it. There's challenge to taking authority. One thing about authority, you will always find there's a contender against it. You wouldn't need authority if there wasn't contenders. Yeah, everything would just be, right? But because there's resistance, you need an authority that can speak against the resistance and have a power against it. Jesus was going through showing us, we're going to have to do this for you're going to have to learn as you've received the Spirit of God. It's one thing to receive it. It's another thing to put it in authority in your life. It's possible to have the Spirit of God in you and be led by your flesh. Scripture tells us that over and over again. Because a lot of us feel like once I got, you know, became a child of God, everything's right all the time, no matter what, right? And then you find out, no, it's not. It seems like once I got saved and filled with the Spirit, all hell broke out. Why? Well, because there's a contender against authority. And you're claiming this new authority is the head of your life. And immediately, you didn't ask to wrestle it, but it wants to wrestle you. You're going to have to pin it. Oh, no. Right in the middle of this struggle of the authority, guess who we find present? Here comes old Slewfoot himself. Here comes the lion that roars but does not have the right to overpower me. His authority has been stripped, but he still goes. The Bible says he is as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Well, who can he devour? Anybody he has authority over. But once he finds out he doesn't have authority over you anymore, he can't devour you. But what a lion does when it roars, rah! Whatever runs, he says, got him. Why? Because my roar showed me who I'm authority over. And everybody who ran, I'll chase. I hope you're seeing this. And here he comes. And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. Okay, if you're really in authority, if you're really a child of God, if you really believe God's with you, do this. Prove it in the physical. Prove it by making something of the flesh. Prove it in making something, in doing something. Prove it in your ability. Go beat them up. You know, the entrance into some gangs, you're really with us? You're with us for life? Go beat that guy up. Go kill that person. Go rob that bank. Go steal this. Prove to us that you're in. And so the devil's trying to get Jesus to, okay. Prove who you are. Don't let the devil get you to prove who you are. We're to celebrate who we are, not prove who we are. We're to be who we are, not try to make others believe who we are. And so this is a fundamental place that the enemy will try to use an authority over you. If he has authority over you, if you only operate within your flesh, then if all of your desires come from the dictates of your flesh, do this because you're hungry, do this because you're... Then actually, the flesh has hijacked the authority for what it wants. Now, you have this problem in your life because you know you're a child of God, but you find yourself trying to use the authority in the new relationship at whatever the flesh says it wants, because it's ultimately still leading you. Can you see that? So Jesus couldn't do what the devil said, even though he had the right to make stones bread. He had that power and authority. He had that authority. He's the Son of God. He could do that. But he couldn't do it from the prompting of the devil. Otherwise, he would have been giving his authority and the devil is telling him how to use it. You don't have to do that. You can do that. You can do that. But watch what Jesus says in verse 4. Listen, Russell's only doing calf stretches now. It's still plenty of time. Marshawn, you going to play today or what? I don't know, man. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Jesus was putting the authority back, coming together, that what God says is the authority that I live by. And as I, by the Spirit, agree with what God says, that's what we're going to get. I now understand the authority of God's word, and I understand the authority of God's word by His Spirit has allowed me to connect to that authority if I'm in agreement with it. So now I'm living my life based on the word of God as the authority. The Spirit of God in me gives me the right to speak in agreement with God, and that's my portion. That's the authority. That's the authority. So when things are going on in your house, you have to decide, wait a minute. We live by God's word. What did God say about this? And when it's revealed to you what God said about it, what is your job? To say it, shout it, declare it, agree with it, verbalize it, and stand in it. That's your authority. That's your authority. If you just hope it gets better because God loves you, You're failing to see that he loved you, so he gave you authority. You remember the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son, when he returned, he said, just leave me to be a servant in the house because that's better than where I came from. I was having a hard time in the hog pen. And the father said, no, dress him up as a son. Put on a new jacket for him. And one of the things that said, put on a new ring. You know what the ring meant? The ring in the old days when they used to seal letters, they had a symbol. So each family, or they had like a crest or something, but they had a symbol on their ring. And there was one for the king specifically. And they would take that wax, and when he wrote a letter, and he would seal it and put that hot wax there, and he would take his ring, his signature, and he would mark it. And if it was sealed with that signature, it had the authority of that person. And so even if it came from a servant, the servant was bringing the authority of the person that stamped it. And so the father said, give him a ring, the family ring, so he can sign the family name. Give him the authority back. You have to understand, the authority is part of the love. You have to understand that the authority given to you is part of the love of God for you. So that you can... Moses got to the Red Sea after all the 10 plagues, all these plagues came and all this stuff, and he's delivering the children of Israel, saying, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. You know the song. And when they got to the point of the Red Sea, now everybody started to question who's in authority. And so they got fearful, even though they watched the authority of God say, if you keep doing this, Pharaoh, this is going to happen. It happened. If you keep doing this, Pharaoh, it's going to happen. What was happening? We're finding out who had more authority in their word, God or Pharaoh. And even though the people saw all the times and they were being led out, they had gold and riches that they took with them. But when they got to this circumstance, they forgot about authority, and all they could think about was the authority of the one who was pursuing them, which was an earthly, fleshly, natural authority. So what do you do when you reach your Red Sea? You know God's delivered you from this. You know what he's doing. You know what he promised. He said he's going to take you somewhere. But you hit the Red Sea. The question now is, what authority are you going to look towards? And you know what God said to Moses? I love what he said to Moses. He said, Moses, why do you cry out to me? What did I put in your hand? And he realized, remember when God gave him the authority of his staff and showed him that God was in it? It was the anointing of God with him. He had to use his own hands to part the Red Sea. God didn't just do it from above. Moses parted the sea by the authority God gave him. You're going to have to participate and stand in places that look impossible. And not turn to look and see what the enemy's doing, but look forward to where you're going and shout and declare in agreement with God. You're going to have to open up your mouth. You're going to have to do it. This is how much God loves you. What do you say? I say all things are possible when you're present. Am I present? In this temple do you dwell? Then declare. You're going to have to speak. You're going to have to go to your home, and when it's just the atmosphere's not right, we immediately try to get the atmosphere right by strength of our flesh, whether it's in how loud we talk, how strong we pose, what threats we make. We try to get control of the atmosphere. You're going to have to learn to get control of the atmosphere by the Spirit, and declaring what God said in authority in the house. You start realizing I'm not even fighting you. This is my wife. I'm not fighting her. We're trying to build a life together. But when there's problems, I use my authority against her. I'm still learning. Still learning to say, duck. But I will promise you this, if you go to my house, be careful what doorway you walk under. You might get dripped on by oil. Yeah. we've anointed, and I still sneak around the house. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this place. This is a place of peace and joy. This is a place of life and godliness. This, you have to go around. You can't just go try to make the people do what you want them to do. You have to declare a word in an atmosphere of authority. And so the one thing I want you to practice is this. Before you speak to any flesh, speak at it from the Spirit first. A couple things that'll do. That'll slow you down so you don't just say a whole bunch of stuff. Because if you're going to say it from the Spirit, you first have to find out what the Spirit says about it. And the Spirit will always agree with what we live by, the Word of God. We're almost done. There goes Russell, getting his ankles taped. He's so nice to the guy that does his ankles. How the kids, man? Can you just picture Russell doing that? Don't you have that expectation that he's talking nice to the guy? How are your kids, man? Like, he's mindful of the guy who's taping his ankles' kids. What are you going to give him for Christmas? Oh, man, you want a jersey? Oh, they like Bennett. Laugh it off. No problems. No problems, right? What I'm saying is we expect he's about his business right now and he knows who he is. You have to learn to be about your business and know who you are. And you have to learn to be a blessing in the little details with the receptionist and this and the clerk at the store. You have to learn how, because of who you are, because of what authority you have, you have to learn to be that all the time, in all situations. You have to learn to control your vessel. You have to learn to take over the authority. Verse 5. Actually, it goes on. The devil keeps tempting him, and Jesus keeps bringing him back to the Word of God. This is the strength of the Spirit. Now, it said, for the first time, Jesus is baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he goes out, he's fasting. The devil's coming. The devil himself is coming at Jesus. Just so you know, most of the time when you feel like it's the devil doing it, it's not the devil himself. When you get to the point where you hold the importance where the devil himself needs to come to you, he can't be all places at once. He might have gimps and demons that do it. But when we always say it's the devil, it might be the devil's influence, but if he himself is present, it's the most important thing in his battle at that time. It's the most important thing in his battle, the battle for his kingdom, the battle for what he's trying to accomplish. Sometimes we feel like we're fighting the devil himself. But Jesus is on our behalf to win a victory so that every time we have the signature ring to say, my brother already beat you up, and I have the same authority. That's the victory he's given us. There were some families in Enumclaw when I grew up said, don't mess with them. Why? Oh, and they would just say, those are the Van Dams. And what happened is one of the older Van Dams beat somebody up at the school, and from then on, the rest of the kids are like legacy boxing champions, as far as you know. Because you remember that the one kid beat up, you know, and so now it goes down the whole line. Don't mess with the Van Dams, right? Well, in this authority thing, what Jesus did, he passes it on to us and even says, don't mess with any of my brothers or sisters either. That's what he does. That's what he gives us. He gives us that. So that's why you have to learn to use the name Jesus. Oh, man. When I don't know what to say, I say Jesus. So he keeps getting tempted. We drop down to verse 13 and 14 in my close. Verse 13 and 14 is an amazing place in Scripture, and you're going to love it. I think you'll love it. It says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, When the devil lost the battle to get him to yield to his flesh, when the devil realized that this Jesus was not going to listen to him, he departed. Now, he didn't depart until he was convinced, no way in for me. He kept checking, well, I'm going to try this door. Well, let me look. He went the side door, and then after he tried the back door, the third time, he said, I'm out. But watch, it says that, and the devil ended the temptation, he departed for a season. What he said is, I'm going to come back later and see if you still have that authority. I'm going to try to find you in a time when you forget who you are. I'm going to wait until the right moment. You know how a kid that gets beat up threatens back? I'm going to get my brother. I'm going to, you know what he's going to do to you later. They always tell you what they're going to do on their way running away. So the devil takes off. But he tells them, I'm coming, it's only for, I'm going to check you out later. And I can just picture Jesus. He didn't have to say anything in his flesh. He didn't have to speak to him because he had already accomplished it. And so he didn't let pride say, Watch what happens now. It says, and Jesus returned. Now he had gone out for 40 days led by the Spirit. He learned to put the Spirit first and to follow after the Spirit and to tell his flesh, no, hold on, we're going to do this first. This is first. That's why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're going to do this first. It doesn't mean that you can't go get an ice cream when you want one, right? We're not in some law where we can't do that. But if the Spirit says, don't get ice cream, I don't care how much he yells. Because the Spirit might know, oh, you know what? Today's the day E. coli hit that ice cream place. I trust the Spirit, what I don't see. I trust God. That's the authority. I trust him. And so Jesus, trusting him, he wins this battle. The devil leaves. And now when Jesus is coming back down to where the people are, it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He left led by the Spirit, but at this point, he hadn't operated in the power of the Spirit yet. We hadn't seen that. We hadn't seen him use the authority. But what this is telling me is Jesus left yielding himself to the authority of the Spirit. He left yielding himself to the authority of the Spirit and the Word of God. And when he returned, he was operating in the authority of the Spirit and Word of God. He was operating in it. First, you have to yield to it before you can operate to it. You have to yield to the authority and declare, this is the highest authority. It is written. That's my authority. God leading me is my authority. I agree with God regardless what comes. Hunger, thirst, no friends, whatever's going to leave me. I give myself to this authority of God. And it said when he came back now he operated in the authority. These are two different things. Where are you? Are you one that is just now today hearing about Jesus and need to accept him as your Lord and Savior? Not by the works of what you've done, nothing omitting you from an opportunity, but by faith hearing. The Bible says whoever hears the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ and they receive it, he says if they repent and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for me. He says if you confess him Lord and Savior, you shall be saved. He'll save you. He will forgive you of all of your sins and he will open the door and invite you back to a place of walking and remaining in his presence, staying under his authority with the right to speak as a son. And he says, I will give them of my Spirit. I'll give them the sign of Jonah. I'll give them the same Spirit that raised me from the dead with that all authority. I'm going to put in them so that they know everywhere they go, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. This is the promise. And so the next place was, once I received that, it says you should be baptized in that Jordan River like Jesus was, in the name of Jesus. You come up and you know that you are now operating as a clean vessel. Who can put a claim against you? Oh yeah, I remember when you did that. You know what? Jesus washed that away. I don't owe anything for that. I owe no debt to anything behind me. I don't owe a debt to it. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you receive so God witnesses to you where nobody has to tell you that it's not by the authority of your flesh that if you just work harder, God will be happy with you. But God tells you, just like he told Jesus, this is my son who I'm well pleased. And he will witness to you, I love you. and all that I have, I give it to you. But you're going to have to operate in the authority of the Spirit in which I gave you. So if there's anybody who wants to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, let's all eyes close in the place. All I want you to do is raise your hand and say, Lord, save me. In the name of Jesus, I confess my sins. And I ask you, by the blood of Jesus, to wash away everything of yesterday and yesteryear. And Lord, I'm looking for the newness of life. I want what you offer. I want the authority of Jesus Christ, the love of God, over me and in me. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. And for all of us that have already been saved but feel like we got way off the path, I want you to know there is a way back, and it starts by opening your mouth. The Bible says God is so close to you, he's even in your mouth. If you would open up your mouth and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the places I've been, the things I've done. Lord, I yield myself under your authority of your Spirit and of your word. And today, Lord, I want to return in the power of your Spirit. I want to speak in authority in agreement with you and not against you. If you've done this, I want you to know, I don't care what the devil tries to bring against you, to bring accusation, to call you a hypocrite, tell you what you didn't do. You just remind him what Jesus did do. And you say, my brother already won the battle that he gave me, and I have been given the name not because I did it first, but because he did it. And because he did it, because Jesus resurrected from the dead, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be encouraged today. Nothing is impossible if God's present. And God's authority over you is not to be a bondage, but a life. Jesus says, I give life to all that would receive it. And so this day, I just declare a blessing over the body of Christ. Everybody that had ears to hear, Lord, that you're going to cause them to shout and speak new things in their homes, on their jobs, and even in their own body and circumstance. Lord, I speak over their finances, that it should come into agreement with your word. We declare, Lord, that we're blessed and that we're favored. We have grace and we have mercy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and peace comes from the Prince of Peace who abides in our life. We trust you in all things in Jesus' name. Let everybody say,
amen.
Leaving this place, but not the presence of God, go in peace. Bless you.